Somewhere in the museum at Ground Zero, a museum commemorating an act of destruction, is a spirit of creation, the fingerprints and playful shadows that commemorate the Twin Towers as props in one of the greatest acts of performance art of all time, Philippe Petit's high-wire walk between the South Tower and the North Tower back in 1974, a stunt he pulled off by smuggling himself and a crew into the buildings. He was in a shipping crate, where he was carried to the top of the building in a freight elevator.
Now we are in a plywood box, I mean a temporary freight elevator, going all the way up. And it's dark, it's a travel toward heaven. And the darkness becomes gray, and I see a square of gray that becomes lighter. I see a square of light, it is the sky. We're getting there, and we're arriving just a few floors below the roof with all our equipment.
Floor number 104. It's the metaphor, the idea of ascending to heaven in a dark box, opening the top and walking above the world on a web of sheer daring, a breathtaking notion of freedom. To dream the world and then enter it as an artist is a simple summation of Philippe Petit's new book out today, Creativity, the Perfect Crime. Philippe, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thank you.
So perfect because why?
Well, what was perfect was your introduction. I have nothing to add. I can leave now.
That's very sweet. Why is creativity a perfect crime?
Well, in my opinion, and I am not a thinker about creativity, I am a doer. I started 5, 6 years old, so I have some experience behind me, is any act of creativity is valid only if you are breaking the rules, or at least if you're not comfortably installing yourself in a system that works. You have to explore, you have to risk intellectually, certainly. And that's what I do. So thus the rebellion in the title of my book.
So many great stories in this book, and it's written in such a breezy kind of blasting out of the synapses of your brain style. It's very inventive as a book. You tell a story of at age 13 being a typographer's assistant and how you assembled type and went through the extraordinary work of assembling type and then seeing your work, even with all its mistakes, on the page. What did that story tell you? What did that experience tell you?
Well, it's a great metaphor for life when you are a beginner at the art of living, 13 years old. You think you know it all and you know nothing. So it's beautiful because I was so happy of the result of hours of crying because those little tiny characters had to be put a certain way in a ruler and then in a block of steel and then on the press.
And the other typographers were laughing at you.
Yeah, of course. That and the beauty of it in a way is that I marvel at my achievement. And as you rightly observed, it was full of typos. So right there, I could feel, maybe I didn't understand at the time, I could feel that life is a trial and error experiment, and don't only look for the success, learn from your mistakes.
And the hard work to achieve that failure is also pretty essential in this idea of risk.
The hard work, I think, is the motto of life. How can you live if you don't work hard at living and at creating a beautiful life? So fighting is a word I use all the time. Fighting the elements, fighting the powers that be, working hard is really something that I think we have forgotten.
You know, I think of you as an athlete. And actually, to come, and I saw one of your TED Talks back in 2011, you know, as a creative artist, which you obviously are, you really have to fight against the body's decline as you age. You can't juggle as well in your later years and your versus your former years. How do you maintain this sense of inventiveness and creativity when your athletic abilities are sort of fading a little bit?
I completely disagree with you. I am a much better juggler 45 years later than when I was a arrogant little beginner at 16.
All right, I want a lesson then.
No, but the reason, and on a high wire as well. Yes, it is right. My body no longer agrees to do all those somersaults I was doing at 18 years old. But who needs somersaults on a wire? You need to inspire people by a beautiful walk. And to walk beautifully on the wire, to make it easy, takes a lifetime. So I am much stronger and more inspiring on the wire today at 65 years old, although in my heart I'm still 18, than I was at that teenage time.
What do you think of you is down in this Ground Zero museum that's going to be dedicated to?
Oh, that's a painful question, because it's very hard for me to mix the glory and the joy of having married those twin towers that I loved like human beings with my tightrope, and associating that with their death, which is nothing compared to the human death of that day. So it's a very delicate subject, and I would withdraw from answering out of respect for what happened and for the people who lost more than two towers that day.
But we have to remember that creativity and destruction, they go together. There's a renewal that goes on. It's not to disrespect anything that happened on September 11th.
Absolutely true. And that's my motto in my lectures, or mostly, you know, when I talk to students in universities. I always talk about the balance of life. Now, of course, I'm somewhat of a specialist in balance, but truly, I like to remind myself and people that life is made of trial and error, of success and defeat, of, as William Butler Yeats said, of laughter and tears, and he repeats that in a poem. He says laughter and tears again. It's something that we should not forget. When we lose a loved one, some people dance and get drunk and rejoice, because the memory of that lost person is now living with them forever and making them richer and more powerful. And I have experienced that as well. So yes, it's beautifully remarked.
You looked at those twin towers and said, I have an art idea for them. Can you look at this radio studio and figure out what would you do? What kind of a performance piece would you do in here?
This is a great challenge of creativity. Yeah. And I do that, actually. I challenge people using regular object and say, invent a use for that object that is not the one that the object was designed for.
Okay, so what are we going to do? What are we going to
do? Well, first, I see the two brown column, which I suspect are loudspeakers.
No, and they're actually sound absorbers.
Ah, sound absorber. Yeah. Okay, well, they look like two twin towers. So my mind already was looking at the negative space between them, which is just a gray wall, and thinking, well, that's if these were real architecture monuments, I would be able to put my wire there. And I cannot help also looking at your face. You're very close to a giant red nose. Now, I'm not accusing you of becoming a clown, but in my mind, a very red foamy envelope on your microphone and a human nose almost needs to be returned and associated.
So I should just pull this. I should pull this off the microphone, right?
Yes.
And put it on my nose.
Oh, right? Now you make me very happy. Go. And even if we are on the radio, I have to describe what I see.
Perfect.
I see a wonderful, intelligent man who has the intelligence of making a fool of himself for a half a second. Thank you.
Half a second? I do it every day. Philippe Petit is the author of the new book, Creativity, the Perfect Crime. He's the famed high-wire walker who walked between the South Tower and the North Tower of the World Trade Center 40 years ago this year.